The ice didn't just crack, it screamed. Deep within the frozen valleys of 1342, Maeve Dunsmore dragged 11 monstrous freezing wolves from a watery grave, completely unaware that the 12th and largest beast she pulled from the abyss was no animal. It was the ruthless Alpha King himself. The winter of 1342 had settled over the northern marches like an iron shroud. In the isolated borderlands of Oakhaven, the frost did not merely bite. It consumed. The trees stood like skeletal sentinels, their branches encased in thick, milky ice that groaned under the weight of a relentless northern gale. For Maeve Dunsmore, the brutal weather was just another adversary in a life defined by survival. At 24, Maeve was the last of her line, living in a secluded stone cottage near the treacherous Blackwater Gorge. Her father, once a revered master huntsman for the High Lords, had died in exile after a political shift left their family name ruined. Maeve had inherited his strength, his deep knowledge of the wilderness, and his absolute refusal to break under pressure. She survived by trading rare winter roots and treated pelts with the distant village of Keld, though she rarely spoke to anyone. The villagers whispered that she was too wild a creature of the woods herself. On a bitter Tuesday afternoon, as the pale sun dipped below the jagged mountain peaks, Maeve was securing the external storm shutters of her cabin. The wind carried a strange, heavy scent, the metallic tang of blood, mixed with the sharp electric aroma of ozone. Then came the sound. It wasn't the standard sharp howl of a timber wolf, nor was it the high-pitched yip of a coyote. It was a deep, resonant, vibrating rumble of pure agony that shook the very ground beneath her leather boots. It was a chorus of despair, muffled by thick ice and rushing water. Maeve froze, her amber eyes narrowing as she listened. The sound came from the Blackwater River, a violent stretch of water that ran through a deep ravine less than a mile from her home. The river was notorious for its deceptive ice shelves, thick enough to look sturdy, but hollowed out underneath by raging sub-zero rapids. Without a second thought, Maeve grabbed her father's heavy logging ropes, a pair of thick iron-hooked poles, and her skinning knife. She threw her heavy wool cloak over her shoulders and sprinted into the blinding white of the forest, following the sound of the dying beasts. When she reached the lip of the ravine, the scene below took her breath away. The ice shelf over the deepest part of the river had collapsed entirely. In the churning, slush-filled black water, a pack of wolves was drowning. But as Maeve slid down the snowy embankment, she realized these were no ordinary predators. They were massive, colossal, prehistoric beasts, easily three times the size of any wolf she had ever encountered. Their shoulders were as broad as warhorses, their fur thick and dark as midnight. They were caught in a deadly trap. The rapid current was pulling them beneath the remaining ice sheets, where they would be trapped and suffocated within minutes. Several were already clawing desperately at the slippery edges of the ice, their whimpers cutting through the howling wind. "Hold on," Maeve muttered to herself, her survival instincts overriding her fear. If she stopped to think about the danger of approaching 12 giant predators, she would freeze. She anchored her thick hemp rope around the base of a massive ancient oak tree near the riverbank. Tying the other end securely around her waist, she grabbed the iron-hooked pole and stepped onto the unstable edge of the riverbank. The first wolf she reached was a hulking, soot-gray beast. It was thrashing wildly, its violet-tinted eyes wide with animal panic. Maeve threw the loop of her second rope over its massive head, managing to cinch it around its thick chest. "Pull!" she screamed against the wind, using her entire body weight leaning back against the anchor rope tied to the oak tree. Her muscles burned instantly. The weight of the beast was staggering easily, 600 pounds of wet, freezing muscle. She dug her iron-shod boots into the frozen earth, her hands blistering through her leather gloves as she hauled. With a final agonizing heave, the grey wolf scrambled onto the muddy bank, collapsing and coughing up black river water. Instead of turning to attack her, the beast lay shivering, staring at Maeve with an unnerving, almost human intelligence. There was no time to ponder it. Maeve threw herself back toward the water. One by one, the grueling cycle continued. The second wolf, a silver-furred female, was dragged out by her scruff, her hind legs nearly paralyzed by the cold. The third and fourth twin jet-black males were tangled together in a submerged thicket. Maeve had to use her iron pole to pry them free before hauling them up simultaneously, nearly dislocating her own shoulder in the process. By the seventh, Wolf Maeve's breath was coming in ragged, painful gasps. The skin on her palms had torn open, staining the hemp rope with her own warm, crimson blood. By the 11th wolf, a massive, scarred brute that looked like it had survived a dozen wars, Maeve was operating on pure adrenaline. Her vision was tunneling. The wind chill had dropped significantly, and her own clothes were soaked through with freezing spray. As the 11th wolf crawled onto the snow, it joined the others. The 11 giant beasts did not flee, nor did they fight. They huddled together on the bank, forming a silent, shivering semicircle, their intelligent amber and blue eyes locked onto the exhausted human woman who had just saved their pack. Maeve fell to her knees, her chest heaving, believing the ordeal was over. Her hands were trembling violently from the onset of hypothermia. She looked out at the churning black water, ready to pack her ropes and drag herself back to her cabin. Then the water erupted. Through the fractured ice, a final figure rose, and Maeve's heart stopped. This beast was a titan, a leviathan among monsters. He was nearly double the size of the others, his coat a magnificent blend of midnight velvet and stark frosted white. But what caught Maeve's attention wasn't just his terrifying size, it was the fact that he was dying. A massive, heavy-set crossbow bolt, forged of blackened iron and tipped with gleaming silver, was buried deep into his shoulder. The flesh around the wound was smoking, turning a sickly, charred black, as if the metal itself was burning him alive. The water around him was stained with a heavy torrent of dark, thick blood. The giant wolf's eyes met Maeve's. They were not the eyes of a beast. They were a piercing, majestic sapphire blue, radiating an overwhelming, crushing aura of absolute authority, even as life faded from them. It was a look of profound, tragic dignity. He was slipping beneath the ice shelf, his massive paws losing their grip on the slick surface. "No!" Maeve cried out, the word torn from her raw throat. She couldn't let him die. Not after everything. Ignoring the screaming protests of her exhausted muscles, Maeve unhitched herself from the anchor tree. The rope wouldn't reach far enough. She had to venture onto the cracking ice sheet itself. Behind her, the 11 rescued wolves let out a collective low whine, a sound of absolute terror for the giant in the water. Maeve stepped onto the ice. It cracked beneath her boots, a spiderweb of fractures, spreading rapidly toward the deep water. She ignored it. She lunged forward, dropping to her stomach to distribute her weight, and plunged her bare, bleeding arms directly into the sub-zero water. The pain was instantaneous and blinding, a white-hot flash that felt like her flesh was being scraped from her bones. She reached down, her fingers tangling into the thick, coarse scruff of the white and midnight titan. The wolf groaned a sound that vibrated through Maeve's very bones. He had no strength left to help himself. He was a dead weight sinking into the black abyss. "Help me!" Maeve screamed, though she didn't know who she was calling to. Suddenly she felt a massive pressure around her waist. The 11th wolf, the scarred brute she had saved just minutes prior, had stepped onto the stable edge of the bank. He clamped his massive jaws onto the tail end of Maeve's trailing rope and began to pull backward with immense force. The other wolves joined, grabbing the rope in their teeth, acting as a living winch. With the collective power of the pack and Maeve's final desperate bone-cracking heave, the Titan was ripped from the freezing maw of the river. The ice beneath Maeve gave way entirely. She fell into the shallow edge, but the wolves were already moving. The silver female grabbed Maeve by the hood of her heavy cloak, dragging her safely onto the snowy bank alongside the massive unconscious leader. Maeve lay in the snow, coughing, her vision fading to black at the edges. She was freezing to death. She knew the signs. If she didn't get to heat immediately, she would not see the sunrise. But as she lay there, a strange warmth enveloped her. The 11 giant wolves moved in a synchronized protective wall. They pressed their massive, fur-covered bodies tightly around Maeve and their fallen leader, shielding them from the biting wind. The intense, unnatural body heat radiating from the beasts was like a furnace, stopping Maeve's violent shivering and bringing the color back to her pale cheeks. After an hour of resting in the living fortress of fur, Maeve managed to stand. The Titan was still unconscious, his breathing shallow and rattling. The silver wound on his shoulder was weeping black fluid. "We have to move him," Maeve whispered, her voice cracking. She looked at the wolves. To her utter astonishment, they seemed to understand. Maeve retrieved her large wooden logging sled from the top of the ridge, a sled used for hauling massive oak logs. Together, using her ropes and the physical assistance of two of the largest black wolves who pushed with their massive snouts, they managed to roll the colossal Titan onto the sled. The journey back to the cabin was a surreal nightmare. A frail human woman and 11 mythical monsters moving in perfect silent unison through the blizzard, hauling their dying king. When they reached the cabin, the wolves crowded around the porch, their massive bodies completely blocking the wind. Only the scarred brute and the silver female assisted Maeve in dragging the Titan inside his massive body, taking up the entirety of the braided rug before her massive stone hearth. Maeve immediately set to work. She stoked the fire until the room was roaring with heat. She fetched her medical supplies, her father's old surgical tools, heavy iron pliers and jars of dried wintergreen comfrey, and a rare secret root her father called wolfsbane bane, used to treat toxic metallic poisonings. The silver bolt buried in the beast's shoulder was pure malice. Maeve could smell the burning flesh. "This is going to hurt," she whispered, placing a gentle hand on the Titan's massive soft ear. She gripped the end of the iron bolt with her heavy pliers. Straddling the wolf's massive chest to keep him pinned, she braced herself and pulled with all her might. The Titan erupted into motion. Even unconscious, the agony was so great that a deafening, earth-shattering roar tore from his throat, rattling the iron pots hanging from the kitchen ceiling. His massive paws flailed his claws, digging deep furrows into Maeve's wooden floorboards. Maeve was thrown back, but she held on. With a wet, sickening sound, the silver bolt tore free from his flesh. She threw it into the fire, where it hissed violently. Working quickly, she packed the gaping wound with her crushed herbal paste and wrapped it tightly with clean linen sheets, tying them securely around his massive torso. By the time she finished, she was covered in sweat dirt and the dark blood of the beast. The Titan's breathing gradually stabilized the black veins around the wound, receding as the healing process began. The other wolves outside let out a low, collective hum of relief that vibrated through the log walls. Exhausted beyond human limits, Maeve collapsed on the floor beside the hearth, just inches away from the giant white and midnight wolf. She rested her head against his massive soft flank, her hand remaining on his steady beating heart. Within seconds, she fell into a deep, dreamless sleep, surrounded by a pack of apex predators. Hours passed. The blizzard outside reached its crescendo, and then slowly died away, leaving the world in a pristine, suffocating silence. As the first pale light of dawn crept through the frost-rimed windows of the cabin, Maeve began to stir. The heavy, comforting smell of wet dog and wild fur was gone. Instead, the air in the cabin was thick with the sharp, overwhelming scent of copper, ancient pine, and something deeply masculine, like ozone and expensive leather. Maeve opened her eyes, blinking against the morning light. She wasn't resting against soft fur anymore. Her head was pillowed against something solid, warm, and distinctly smooth. She bolted upright, her heart hammering against her ribs. The wolves were gone. The cabin was packed to the brim, but not with animals. Standing in a perfect, rigid semicircle around her living room were 11 towering, incredibly muscular men. They were clad only in remnants of fur cloaks and salvaged blankets, their expressions fierce, noble, and etched with an intense, reverent solemnity. Maeve gasped, scrambling backward until her spine hit the stone hearth. Her eyes darted to the bed in the corner of her room, the bed where she had managed to shift the weight of the wounded beast using her pulleys during the night. Lying on her small cot, his long legs hanging off the edge, was a man. He was breathtakingly massive, with a chest as wide as an anvil, covered in ancient battle scars. His hair was a wild mane of midnight black, streaked with shocks of stark white at the temples. Wrapped tightly around his broad shoulder were the bloody linen bandages she had applied the night before. The man opened his eyes. They were the same piercing, majestic, sapphire blue eyes she had seen in the freezing water. The 11 towering men in the room instantly dropped to one knee, bowing their heads in absolute, terrifying unison. The man on the bed looked down at his bandaged shoulder, then at the blood on Maeve's hands, and finally directly into her eyes. A low, gravelly voice, rich with a power that made the very air in the room feel heavy, broke the silence. "You saved my pack, little bird," the man murmured, a faint, dangerous smile touching his lips. "And you pulled the sovereign of the northern brood from the gates of death. Tell me, what is a human girl to do with an alpha king?" Maeve could only stare, her breath catching in her throat, as she realized the true depth of the wild world she had just stumbled into. She hadn't just saved a pack of wild animals. She had altered the political landscape of the entire continent, and there was no turning back. The silence in the small, fire-lit cabin stretched until it became a physical weight pressing down on Maeve's chest. The 11 towering men remained absolutely motionless, their heads bowed in total submission, while the colossal man on the cot watched her with eyes that held the terrifying depth of a frozen ocean. The crackle of the hearth fire seemed deafening. Maeve pressed her spine harder against the cold stone of the chimney, her breathing shallow and fast. She was a woman, accustomed to the wild, a survivor of the brutal northern marches, but nothing in her father's extensive journals had prepared her for the impossible reality standing in her living room. "You look at us as if we are ghosts," the man on the bed rumbled. His voice was a rich, vibrating baritone that resonated in the hollow of Maeve's ribs. He shifted his massive weight, wincing slightly as the muscles in his chest pulled against the tight linen bandages she had wrapped around his shoulder just hours prior. "I assure you, little bird, we are entirely made of flesh and blood. Thanks to you." Maeve swallowed hard, forcing her vocal cords to function. "You were wolves, the beasts in the river. I dragged you from the ice." "You did," the man agreed, slowly swinging his long, muscular legs over the edge of the cot. Despite his severe injuries, he moved with the languid, lethal grace of an apex predator. "I am Gideon, sovereign of the northern brood. These men are my vanguard, my most elite guard. and you human have accomplished something that entire armies have failed to do. You saved my life. How? Maeve whispered, her amber eyes darting around the room, taking in the scarred, muscular bodies of the vanguard. They wore only the ragged remnants of the heavy furs and woolen blankets she had stored in her cedar chests, yet they seemed completely unaffected by the freezing drafts slipping through the cabin's floorboards. How did you end up drowning in the Blackwater Gorge? You are giants. You could tear a bear apart. A river shouldn't have been able to take you. A dark, dangerous shadow crossed Gideon's face. The sapphire blue of his eyes seemed to darken into a stormy, violent navy. He looked toward the largest of his men, the scarred brute Maeve had pulled from the water 11th. The man had jagged silver scars crisscrossing his broad chest and face, matching the wounds of the wolf he had been. We were not defeated by the wilderness, Maeve Dunsmore. The scarred man spoke, his voice like grinding stones. Maeve gasped, slightly shocked that they knew her family name. I am Gareth. We were driven into the gorge, herded like sheep by men wielding cowardly weapons. Hunters? Maeve asked, her brow furrowing in confusion. No local trapper from Keld would dare hunt wolves your size. They are terrified of the woods in winter. They were not local trappers, Gideon interjected, his gaze piercing her. They were mercenaries, heavily armed and handsomely paid. They carried black iron ballistas, mounted on heavy sleighs, loaded with bolts, forged from pure, consecrated silver. The poison that burned in my shoulder was designed specifically for our kind. We were ambushed in the narrow pass of the Whispering Peaks. They drove us toward the fragile ice of the Blackwater. Maeve felt a cold dread settle in her stomach. Who would have the gold and the resources to hunt a pack of werewolf royalty in the middle of a blizzard? William de Bohun. Gideon spat the name like venom, the historical weight of the real-world English commander hanging heavy in the cabin's air. The Earl of Northampton. The Plantagenet crown has grown tired of the treaties that keep the northern forests under our jurisdiction. They want the timber, the silver mines, and the strategic mountain passes. To get them, they need the northern brood eliminated. De Bohun financed a private army of silver hunters to wipe out my vanguard and assassinate me. Maeve's heart hammered a frantic rhythm against her ribs. She was a solitary woman, exiled and forgotten by the political machinations of the High Lords. Now she was standing in the epicenter of a hidden war between the English crown and a supernatural monarchy. She looked at her hands, still stained with dried, dark blood from hauling the wolves from the river. If William de Bohun's mercenaries drove you into the water? Maeve's voice trailed off as a horrifying realization washed over her. She rushed to the frost-covered window, using her sleeve to rub away the condensation. Outside, the blizzard had broken, leaving a pristine, sunlit expanse of deep, untouched white snow. But her eyes weren't looking at the beauty of the morning. They were looking at the tree line. They won't believe you drowned, Maeve whispered, her survival instincts instantly hijacking her fear. She turned back to Gideon, her expression hardening into the fierce mask of a master huntsman's daughter. Silver hunters are trackers. They will follow the riverbank. They will find the broken ice, and they will find the massive drag marks my wooden sled made in the snow, leading straight to my front door. A low, unified growl rumbled from the chests of the 11 vanguard guards. The sound vibrated through the wooden walls of the cabin. Gideon stood up fully. He was breathtakingly tall, towering over Maeve by more than a foot. He stepped toward her, his intense sapphire eyes scanning her face. You possess a sharp mind, little bird. You are correct. The hunters are coming. But you need not fear. My men will tear them apart before they can touch a single hair on your head. You are in no condition to fight. Maeve shot back, her tone sharp, startling even herself with her audacity to scold an Alpha King. Your men are exhausted, half frozen, and likely suffering from silver exposure from the river water. If you shift back into those giant beasts, the residual silver poison will stop your hearts. Gareth stepped forward, a grim nod, confirming her theory. The human speaks the truth, my king. We cannot shift. Our wolves are suppressed by the silver toxicity in the water. We must fight as men. Maeve didn't hesitate. The shock was gone, replaced by the cold, calculating adrenaline that had kept her alive in Oakhaven for years. She marched to the far wall of the cabin and grabbed a heavy iron ring set into the floorboards. With a sharp tug, she hauled open a hidden trapdoor, revealing a dark cellar. If you must fight as men, you will fight armed, Maeve commanded, pointing down into the darkness. My father was Alistair Dunsmore. Before he was exiled, he was the master of the hunt for the High Lords. This cellar is packed with cold steel hunting blades and heavy crossbows. Arm yourselves. Now. Gideon stared at her, a profound mixture of shock respect and deep fiery intrigue flaring in his eyes. He let out a low rough chuckle that sent a shiver down Maeve's spine. Alistair Dunsmore's daughter. He murmured, his gaze sweeping over her wild hair and fiercely determined face. The fates have a twisted sense of humor. Vanguard, arm yourselves. We defend this house. The sun barely reached its zenith when warnings arrived. The sharp twang of a ballista echoed through the frozen valley, followed instantly by the shattering of wood as a massive iron bolt tore through the front porch. Inside the atmosphere was a coiled spring of pure tension. Maeve crouched beneath the heavy oak dining table, her father's intricately carved hunting crossbow loaded and braced against her shoulder. Surrounding her, crouching by the reinforced doors, were the 11 men of the vanguard. They were armed with broadswords and throwing axes from the hidden armory. Gideon stood near the hearth, holding a battle axe that he wielded with one hand, despite his bandaged shoulder. The sheer aura of predatory power rolling off his body made the air feel suffocating. They are moving through the eastern tree line, Lyra whispered. I smell black powder. They intend to burn the cabin down, Gareth growled. No, Maeve said firmly. They cannot. The perimeter is rigged. Outside, the crunch of heavy boots on snow signaled the approach of the mercenaries. There were at least 30 of them, clad in dark leather and iron armor. The captain raised his sword to signal the charge. Now, Maeve whispered. She pulled a thick rope hidden beneath the floorboards. Outside, the snow erupted. A series of massive timber traps hidden beneath the drifts snapped shut with crushing force. Screams filled the icy air as the first line of mercenaries was violently swept off their feet, hoisted into the air by their ankles, or crushed beneath heavy oak logs. Vanguard, break them! Gideon roared. The front doors of the cabin were thrown open. The 11 werewolf warriors surged out into the snow like an avalanche of muscle and steel. Though they could not shift into their giant forms, they retained the speed and brutal ferocity of apex predators. They tore into the mercenary ranks with devastating efficiency. Gareth swung his heavy sword, shattering iron armor, while Lyra moved like a deadly dancer, her twin daggers finding the weak points in the defenses. Maeve did not stay hidden. She moved to the shattered window, raising her crossbow. Her hands were steady. She spotted a mercenary leveling a heavy rifle squarely at the exposed back of Gareth. Maeve exhaled, pulled the trigger, and sent a steel-tipped bolt straight through his shoulder, dropping him instantly into the snow. Suddenly, the wooden wall beside Maeve exploded. A massive mercenary had bypassed the traps and smashed his way through the side of the cabin, wielding a heavy iron mace. He lunged at her, his eyes wild with bloodlust. Before Maeve could reload, a shadow eclipsed the sunlight. Gideon moved with a speed that defied his massive size. He dropped his axe, stepping between Maeve and the mercenary. The iron mace struck Gideon squarely in his uninjured chest, a blow that would have shattered a human ribcage. Gideon did not even flinch. He reached out with one hand, grabbing the armored man by the throat, and lifted him completely off the ground. With a crunch, Gideon crushed the windpipe and tossed him through the broken window. The battle outside was over. The surviving elite hunters were fleeing into the deep woods. Gideon stepped closer to Maeve, brushing a stray lock of hair behind her ear. "You saved my pack," Gideon said, dropping to one knee. The returning vanguard stopped dead. "I offer you my protection, my loyalty, and my kingdom. Come with me to the Winter Court, Maeve. Rule by my side." Maeve placed her hands over his. "I know nothing about being a queen." Gideon looked up at her, a dangerous, breathtaking smile slowly returning to his handsome, scarred face. His bright blue eyes locked onto hers with a silent promise of absolute, unyielding devotion. "My brave little bird," he murmured, his deep voice rumbling with an undeniable authority. "After what you did to those silver hunters today, you have proven that you are already royalty. The ancient Winter Court will simply have to learn to bow to their new, fierce, and beautiful human queen. This battle proved she belonged with them forever." She smiled and accepted her destiny with the Alpha King. Did Maeve's incredible courage and her forbidden romance with the Alpha King keep you entirely on the edge of your seat? If you loved this thrilling medieval werewolf drama, please don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe to our channel, and share this video with your friends. Comment below what you think Gideon will do next to protect his new queen. Stay tuned for more epic, real-life fantasy storytelling.